I can't hear it.
You tried.
I can't hear it. I can hear that. Thanks for questioning.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are listening to episode 48 of Live Wrestling Podcast. Now, in case you've never listened to the podcast before, in case you have listened to the podcast before, we have been feeding you lies and deception from day one. And I think you probably are already figured this out. But in case you haven't, my name is not, in fact, Dylan Cross. When I was doing the podcast, just a two-man podcast, not that that's really any different than this, but a two-man podcast with the old co-host, Jake Owens. I say no words, but... back when I was doing that, we just kind of thought it would be funny to use fake weird names. And so Jake Owens and Dylan Cross it was. And but now we've kind of, I don't know. I don't even know why we did it in the first place. So my name is Josh. I know. No. For everyone who's been listening to literally everyone on this podcast say it and then try to correct themselves.
It's mainly Josh. That was mainly me.
No, I don't think anyone's ever gotten my name right on this podcast. It's been
you did it a couple. I think it was like last week or the week before. You called your own name.
It's hard not to cut the video. Yeah, it's hard not
your
to
audio
because like you know I've been living with my name and stuff, and we use my name like immediately before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like I get to call you Dylan on the regular. I don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's probably for the best because it's not my name. Anyway, so we are recording audio right now, so we don't need to get too far into this. The voice you just heard, his name is Kevin.
Actually, my name's Will. I've been lying to you guys for a long time. I just wanted to get that part out. And Will's name is Matt, and Matt's name is Kevin. We just thought it'd be funny if we all switched our names up.
LOL, gotcha.
No, my name's Kevin. Hey, guys.
Hey, Kevin. All right.
So hey, Josh. Oh,
aren't you mean Dylan?
Oh, all right.
People just call me Josh. I don't know. I guess I just look like a Josh.
Exact quote from one podcast.
All right. So, in case you guys have missed the past couple episodes or didn't listen to our incredibly tangential random rant show that also served as our Extreme Rules preview and prediction show, we have finally crowned a new Live Wrestling Podcast champion.
And I'm interested to see if he's here today.
I mean, statistically, chances are he's not.
Oh, dang it.
Statistically, chances are it doesn't mean that he's not. So, let's go over the list. So, we had the first match, Cesaro and Kid versus The New Day. Everyone got that wrong, except for Matt, who didn't answer, so we thought we would troll him and write that in. And it... damn it.
He won.
They won, so... Naomi, Bella. Let's see. Everyone got that right, except for Kevin and Ben.
Yeah, Kevin never gets any. I don't know why I may think he might be champion. I never get any predictions right.
Ambrose Harper, everyone got that right except for Ben and Matt, who picked Eddie Guerrero.
That was a good choice, I think. That's my second pick.
Yeah, it was fair. Like there was like a 30% chance.
I was thinking 45, but yeah.
Right. Okay. So yeah, we don't need to go over the rest. Alright, so coming in at last, the former first ever Live Wrestling Podcast champion, Ben Strike. He came in with 6 points out of a possible...
Sorry.
That's okay. Out of a possible, I believe it is 6 out of a possible... number 11. 11 points. Which is a strange number of points, but that's how many there were. Coming in fifth place, Kevin.
Yay! Yeah, I went from last to fifth real quick.
Number one, or five. Coming in fourth place was Corey.
The dang it.
Respectable.
Don't change the channel. Sorry.
I refuse to acknowledge that.
Sorry.
Coming in at a tie for what? Oh, no, I counted this wrong. Tie for second, Matt and Will.
Oh,
which means, oh, ladies and gentlemen, introducing your new Live Wrestling Podcast champion, Josh Biederman.
Who's that? I've never heard of him before. That's congratulations, man. You deserve it. You picked your guesses and you guessed right.
I'm sitting here right now with the replica World Heavyweight Championship belt that my grandma got me when I was 13 years old.
Ooh, is it the spinner?
It's not. It's the big gold.
Oh. Okay.
It's the commemorative, the plastic one. But nevertheless, I'm holding it with pride as I represent the future and past and present of this company. I will look upon you with disdain in the future, and I expect nothing but reverence in return.
So does that mean I have to announce you from now on?
No, I will be announcing myself. I am
Mr.
so
Kennedy.
Important that nobody is capable of announcing my greatness.
All right, Mr. Kennedy. That's what you turn yourself.
Mr.
Kennedy.
All right.
So did you see the? Did I send that photo in the chat?
I don't think so.
I was on a WWE Facebook page, which I'm on often, and it was the Sami Zayn versus John Cena. They were promoting that, and there. You know what the third top comment was with over 100 likes, 150 likes.
What?
Bring back Mr. Kennedy.
Truth! Bring back Mr. Kennedy!
I don't know why that was the top comment, but it made me smile. I liked it.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Oh, WWE fans finally doing something right.
About time.
It is about time. So shall we get along to some Raw review with, of course, your reigning and defending Live Wrestling Podcast champion, Josh? Oh, that's me, by the way. I'm your reigning, defending Live Wrestling Podcast champion.
I hate to be this guy, but technically, Dylan Cross did those predictions.
You do hate to be that guy.
And you're Josh.
And
so
you will continue to hate to be that guy.
I mean, unless you're doing like a Johnny Nitro turn into John Morrison with the ECW championship.
Clearly that is what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
Clearly.
Never mind then.
Clearly I am nitring.
You can keep going with your daily podcast. Weekly.
Yeah. Daily would be nice. I don't have enough money for that.
Yeah, I don't think we do.
Nope. I also don't have enough time or energy. Or wrestling.
I think we could find.
Yeah, we could probably do the wrestling part.
But I don't know if it'd be strictly WWE at that point, though.
No, there's no way.
Yeah, unless you're really extending that main event. What is it? Tuesday's main event.
I think that show's on hiatus though. So we have SmackDown.
Yes, actually, we probably could. NXT. Not every day, but like 5 days a week, we probably could.
Yeah.
NXT.
Yeah,
main
I mean,
event,
well, because you have like SmackDown, network original shows all the time. We could do it.
Raw. They'd just be really, really
in depth.
It just probably wouldn't be that entertaining.
Yep. So in the third minute of Jerry Springer's Too Hot for TV, WWE,
I didn't know what to expect from that, and when I finally watched terrible. It, yeah, I was yeah, like, really oh, bad. So stuff we've all seen a million times on YouTube.
Yeah, it's like all like not even close to too hot for TV.
I'm really surprised they showed all the divas kissing and whatnot stuff again, though, even if it was on the network.
Yeah,
that did surprise me.
They like didn't have like anything too hot for TV, really.
I mean, the Tori Wilson, Dawn Marie was pretty hot.
It was hot, but, like, you can, I mean, like, you can, it's TV.
Yeah, it was on TV originally, so therefore it wasn't too hot for TV.
No, well, I mean, it's a different age, different time.
True.
The children have grown up and become adults that are ashamed of what they used to like.
I am, yeah, it's a different... Now that I'm older, I realize I shouldn't have been watching that when I was little.
I will never acknowledge that argument. But, so, Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
So
Monday Night Raw.
It starts with Randy Orton.
And he's doing... like, I was gonna do my Randy Orton impersonation.
Please, for the love of God, do that.
Yo, Rollins and Roman and you two. So, I know we had our differences in the past, and I may RKO'd you guys one, twice, 600 times. You guys were in the Shield together, and I took you guys down then. And when I say took you guys down then, I mean I lost at WrestleMania 29 to you guys. But hey, let's just blame Big Show for that. No, but seriously, payback? I'm getting payback. Roman, let's be honest. How many championships have you owned? Huh?
One.
Uno. And guess who it was with? Rollins.
Rollins, yeah. My partner in crime and tag team wrestling.
Yeah. So, Randy Orton for the win. Hashtag, I'm coming for you.
Hashtag, I don't believe that.
Hashtag, RKO is still cool, right, guys? Anyway, so then Roman Reigns comes out. And he's like, hey you. Or it's more like, hey you, Orton. Guess what?
What?
I'm still going to beat you.
No, you're not.
I'm going to spear you, and I'm going to Superman punch Rollins, and for fun, I'm going to F5 both of you. And we'll pick up that win.
That doesn't sound very fun at all. Sounds heavy.
Yeah, but it was pretty much the bickering back and forth between those two.
Yeah, that's all it needed to be, though.
Can you guess who came out, though? Yes, the new... That probably came out way better on the audio than mine. New Day?
New Day?
I officially like them now. I
did you ever not like... Well, okay, that was stupid. Did you? Have you not liked them recently?
They were slow, like, not nearly as much as I liked them today, or yesterday.
Huh.
My voice. It was very enjoyable, their promo. Very fun. Every single one of them had something to say, something funny to say, and it all worked out well.
Kofi.
He was on his game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
his
they
game
gave
is kind of...
Some, they gave like Kofi cricket. Kingston mic time, so.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal of Kofi Kingston.
Well, I understood it in, like, 09.
Well, yeah. I mean, the one Randy Orton feud that was relevant.
Oh, well, actually, I was thinking more 08. Never mind, you're right. 09. I was talking about, like, how he was good with the kids, with the high-flying stuff. But,
well,
yeah. When he came out all Jamaican, and then one day he was just doing a promo with Triple H, and he lost his Jamaican accent.
Because he had a terrible Jamaican accent.
And Triple H just goes, wait a second, what happened to your accent? And the whole crowd's went, oh. I'll never forget, that was hilarious, but, yeah.
Poor
guy. It was just, like, dead on, it was like, it came out of nowhere, Triple H just broke kayfabe, and it's like, your accent's gone, bro. But... Yeah, I didn't mind Kofi Kingston. Xavier Woods and Big E were good as always. But they were really, I don't know. The way they were talking trash.
Big E is my favorite guy on that team, like, by far.
He has good personality.
He's a great personality, and he can wrestle, too, which, like, you don't usually see a guy that can wrestle as, like, technically well at that size as Big E.
Yeah.
He's the full package.
I'm just glad he's not in that goofy outfit anymore.
I can't think of it right now because I haven't looked for it, but what's the cutoff for his pants?
Wait, what?
Because, like, when he debuted, they were, like, maybe, like, down to his knees. And then, like, slowly as the weeks went by, they just, like, started cutting off at, like, his hips. And he just, like, was, like, full leg in it. And I don't know where he landed on that. I haven't paid attention to it. I need to start doing that.
Wait, he wears a unitard. I don't know what you mean.
Because there was still, like, a leg sleeve. Like a bottom, like Kurt Angle's. But it slowly kind of started coming up.
I don't even know what you're talking about, so I got to look out for that myself.
Yeah, I guess you should.
Yeah. Because now I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah, but it was a good New Day promo. The crowd was very into when the New Day sucks, and New Day was like, no, we don't. And
nope.
Nope. Yeah, we're not believing it. Who has the gold around our waist? Wait, I already said it. Us.
Wait.
We.
It's bronze.
Hey.
Those titles. Those titles make me angry.
I did enjoy the other tag team titles.
The unified ones were great.
Yeah.
And now there's these giant penny things. And
I didn't like these ones for a long time, but they just naturally grown on me, like any title does.
Well, it's just you just gotten used to it.
Yeah, like, I didn't like the WWE Championship for the longest time, like when The Rock debuted it.
Oh, I loved it then, because I hated like the spinner.
Well, when I got it, actually, I did get it myself, that's not what I was getting at. I enjoy it now. I don't mind it at all. Looks good, actually. But I had my issue. Same thing with the WWE logo, when they changed to the network logo. I did not like it for...
Really?
The guy, I hated it.
I think it looks so much better.
Now I do. I don't know so much better, but I just grown used to it.
It's
when I
better.
First, when I first saw it, I was like, "Oh, that is terrible! I'm never getting used to this. Oh, well, what is going on with this? Oh, Vince, oh, what are you doing, dude?" But I like it now.
It's like so much sleeker and more modern.
Yeah,
and like more representative of the times that we're in.
Exactly. I believe you on that.
Yeah. Like, it was good when it was the WWF, but once you kind of moved into the
WWE... You said WWEF.
Well, I didn't ask for your opinion.
Well, it wasn't really an opinion. It was just a statement that's not a thing.
I didn't ask for that either, did I? You don't hear me saying, "Hey, Kevin, what do you think of my speech patterns?" Nope. Nothing about that.
True. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Let the record show that.
But New Day.
So, anyway.
Yeah, New Day and their non-suckiness, according to them.
Surprising non-suckiness.
Yeah.
I think for all parties, including us.
They're like, guess what? We talked to Kane, but we never actually said the word Kane. I don't think they actually ever said the word Kane. There was like, director of operations. So we know who that is. You could just say the name Kane.
Yeah.
And he was like, we talked to the director, you know, the director. He called cut, and we're like, okay, what should we do next? And then he gave us a good promo. No, but they're like, we have a match against you and you, Roman Reigns and Orton. And we're like, but guess what? It's a handicap match. What up, player? And they had a match.
Yes, they did. This is when I turned on the TV and I was like freaking out that Orton and Reigns were wrestling in the opener. That just seems very strange and foreign to me to see those guys like in the first hour of the show.
It's just foreign to see. Actually, never mind. I lied. I was going to say it's foreign to see a match that early, but then I remembered the promo went on for like 10 minutes anyway, so.
Which is still like probably 10 minutes shorter than they usually are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this is a really well-paced raw.
It's ridiculous how long some of the promos go in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, you're paying for wrestling. Like, I understand Raw is part of the, like, it's also a show at the same time. But when it gets down to it, you're like, yeah, you're paying for the entertainment value. But nobody wants to see a 20-minute promo with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Like, the same thing we see every Raw. Which hasn't been recent, but you see a promo for...
When they say things of note and, like, actively, like, change the course or, like, of WWE, then I'm fine with it. Like the Raw I went to after Royal Rumble when they, like, announced that Reigns would be defending his Royal Rumble hood against Daniel Bryan. Like, that was great, and it kind of, like, established this cool new way for the shows to progress, and it just kind of, like, changed the general vibe of the whole show. That's great. But if you just go over and, like they tend to do, just kind of talk about being angry for 20 minutes and then have some random match, it's just kind of bad pacing and bad opening to a show.
Yeah, I'm just strongly against the 20-minute promos. Like, especially, even like if they're making an announcement like that, you can 100% make that announcement within a 12-minute time period and still make it look fresh and cut and good.
Oh, I agree. But you also have to have time to make fun of the Smarks. Because why even have a wrestling show if you're not going to make fun of the Smarks?
I remember the first time Triple H all went out and made fun of the Smarks.
It was a big deal.
And I was so happy. Yeah, I was like, no, he did not. No. No way. And everybody was like congratulating Triple H for it online.
Which is the greatest thing ever.
And he was like, oh, we're Smarks, but we'll give you congrats on that.
Do you consider yourself a Smark? Just total random question.
I complain about everything they do. Do I complain about everything they do?
No, not really.
I complain often.
You do, and you complain about the predictability, which is general Smark.
It's general Smark.
Yeah.
I am part Smark, but at the same time, I know my limits and what WWE's limits are. So there's a lot of things where I'm not smarkish. So I will admit I've grown to be semi-smark, but at the same time, I still love a lot of the product. And yeah, I'll complain about it from here and then, but at the same time, like, I understand.
Gotcha.
So you won't see me complaining online. Let's put it that way.
Fair. You complain on a podcast, which
goes
online.
Yeah, which is also online.
Yeah.
So actually,
so you complain online a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I do, actually.
Yep. Just complain online.
I'm a smart. Never mind.
Okay. Good work.
Now you guys can unfollow this podcast because the smarks on it.
No. Follow it.
Oh, what? A smark? Oh, God. As they're complaining online about smarks.
How dare they have a wrestling fan on a wrestling show?
Yeah, but, so I'm semi-smart, but that's about it.
All right. So that leads to a match, New Day versus Randy Orton and Roman Reigns. Match itself was short. New Day wins, which is, like, just imagine saying that, like, even, like, 2 months ago, that the New Day would go over Randy Orton and Roman Reigns on Raw.
Yes, but was it clean?
Meh. I mean, it was like, I mean, yeah, kind of.
See, I've seen parts of Raw, and so I might be a little iffy in here about this Raw, just so you guys are aware. That's why I asked that.
So you actually don't know.
No, I don't. I saw half of the match, and I had to stop.
Oh, okay. So basically the finish is... Orton hits an RKO on Xavier Woods, and then Reigns goes to spear, I think it's Big E or Kofi, but Kofi moves out of the way, and he ends up spearing Orton, and Kofi pulls Reigns out of the ring, and Big E gets the cover. So
that's not
clean.
Yeah, that was clean. That's 100% clean.
Yeah.
It's not dirty.
No. See, I mean, it's not like a solid victory, but it's
definitely... I mean, if Roman Reigns and Orton did that, it'd be considered smart. If a heel does it, it's considered, oh, dirty, you slut. So yeah, I think it's clean. I think it's clean.
They mostly just played it off like it was like, oh, look at the dissension between Randy Orton and Reigns that's developing here.
Yeah, well, they cross on each other. The typical triple threat, two guys are on a team way.
Yeah, they are all in that manner.
I thought you were going to say, they are all in that together.
I'm trying so hard not to do it. Because I really, 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 really want to sing it now. But I'm not going to. Because I'm a nice guy. And you guys don't need it. You do need it. All right, okay. Ryback comes to the ring. Gets an interview and he just kind of says that he doesn't know why Bray Wyatt attacked him, but that attacking him was stupid.
I legit don't understand why this high profile guy is attacking me.
He didn't exactly paint it in that light, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
He just came off a feud with Undertaker. Why is he coming after me?
I don't understand. I'm not a big deal.
No, that's... I'm interested to see where this feud goes.
There's no point in trying.
Like I said last week, I'm interested to see where this feud goes.
Yeah. It could be really cool, and they're doing it pretty well. I would like to see a little more Bray Wyatt like in the ring or on the stage or whatever.
Did he like sign like a secret contract or something where he has like special appearances and only fights at only fights at pay-per-views?
the Titantron promos don't count as appearances.
Yeah, the Brock Lesnar.
That would explain a lot because he's Brock like
Wyatt.
There's no reason that he can't cut these promos like out in front of the live audience, right?
I think it's supposed to be scarier than when it's not in live.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel as important inherently. Backstage segments don't feel as important.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, except for like maybe the Team Hell No stuff.
Team Hell No stuff was brilliant. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, it really was. But like, you know, Wyatt's been doing the same thing and saying the same stuff.
That's why like everyone says he's such a great talker, which he is, don't get me wrong. But it does get repetitive very fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's not his fault. He doesn't have anything to work with.
You guys remember when I was with Eric and Luke? You guys remember that? Well, now I'm by myself, so I'm scarier. Oh, yeah. And that's what he has to work with. And he makes it work.
He does. And, you know, like, a lot of people are, like, generally just like, hey, Bray Wyatt, whatever.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Half his promos, I just, like, kind of tune out.
Really? Like, as soon as you get, like, the little cut-in, I'm, like, in, because I know, I don't, like, Bray, you know, it's me and my character wrestling, Mark Hood, but he is one of the greatest character wrestlers that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he is, the repetitiveness gets to me a little bit, and I'm not now you make me feel like I'm a smart kid. God dang it, dude.
Because you're a smart.
I am, and now I just get upset with myself. It's not even I don't complain about his premise. I don't complain, I swear. It's just like I don't really care for them at the same time. Like I pretty much figured he just saying something about, oh, I'm the face of evil. Oh, I'm looking for somebody. I'm gonna beat him up. It's not Undertaker, I promise. It's like okay. So that's the basis of what he's getting at.
Yeah, I think this feud would be a lot better if he was just trying to convert Ryback instead of just kind of punish him for no particular reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to see him go back to kind of deranged cult leader character, just like trying to recruit the, you know, get the audience into the family and get anyone that he can into the family. Like, that's just such a cool thing
to do.
That
just reminds me of the CM Punk Straight Edge Society.
Which was amazing.
Yeah. Ended weirdly, but was amazing.
Yeah. Well, every good wrestling thing ends weirdly.
True.
But I mean, there's just like so many cool things you can do with that. You can like, it gives you an excuse to like turn anyone at any time. Any member of that family leaves, instant face. And if you like can bring anyone in, instant heal, instant heat. I know heat doesn't technically transfer.
I have something to argue with that.
Really? Okay.
Well, you said anyone, not Daniel Bryan. That did not work.
Yeah, well, no.
Not anytime, because it does not work anytime.
It doesn't work when it's like very obviously just a reason to get the most popular wrestler on the roster out of the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was just so poorly done. It wasn't even funny. And
no, yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was very bad.
It worked out in the end because Daniel Bryan got like 30 times more over when he turned on him.
Yeah,
in the cage, that was incredible.
I was like, thank God. That was, I think that might have been, that was the first Usos, right?
Was it? I don't even remember.
If it was the Uso one, I think it was the worst steel cage match I've ever seen.
That's very possible.
The ending made it worth it, but the match itself was terrible.
I'm sure it was.
Whoever it was, I think it was Usos. I think that was the match.
Yeah, but either way, Bryan hitting the running knee on top of the cage, yesing with literally every person in that arena.
Oh, I missed that. And then that's where I don't think I'm smart, because right after he won the championship, so many people turned on him. I'm still a huge fan of Bryan.
I'm still a huge fan of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Like his title win.
I still yes all the time.
All the time. In daily life.
I actually do. People in school think I'm an idiot, and that's one of the few wrestling things I do in school, because I don't... It's like, I like to yes.
That's yes. Yes to that.
They're just like, what are you doing, kid? I'm like, yesing. What are you doing? Being lame? Yes. Not being cool?
Yes.
Judging me?
Yes.
Realizing you're stupid? Yes.
Backing away slowly. Yes.
Yes.
Getting the police. Yes.
Yes. That's what I do. Just yes. Get a D plus from school. Yes.
That one just bummed me out.
I think I got my paper back today, which I worked really hard on. I actually had to miss a roll for it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. It was devastating.
I got a high C on it, which is the best grade in English I got for a paper, a 5-page essay, and I started yesing.
In class?
Yeah.
You're awesome.
Yeah.
So
Ryback.
Yeah, Ryback happened.
I feel like we say that often with Ryback.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryback was a thing today.
He was, and he will continue to be a thing in the future. That will be great and kind of for no reason. Ryback just kind of happens. And recently Bray Wyatt just kind of happened.
Yeah, it's kind of just happened feud.
It's kind of a bummer.
Maybe this will boost both their them up a little bit.
I would hope so. They would have. I mean, they're gonna have to put it higher on the card. They're gonna have to put some more of the machine behind it. But they could definitely make this big deal.
Feud worth it. Multi-pay-per-view feud, and it like maybe even SummerSlam because like who can go that far? Which I doubt is kind of far actually. Thinking back to it, but
I mean, well, what's in between there? Is Payback and then Money in the Bank and then SummerSlam? Is that the only three?
No, I think there's something in between. Payback.
May, June. Yeah, there's got to be something in June, right? Is it Battleground?
Probably.
Yeah.
Bring back Great American Bash. Bring back Great American Bash.
No.
No?
No. I don't need any more pointless patriotism.
Oh, that's... Really?
Yep.
You're going with the patriotism on that?
It's
pointless. I know it is all America, but... I don't know. I always enjoyed the Great American Bash, not just because like I don't know. It feels.
That was the one that Undertaker buried like summer, Paul Bear in concrete, right? That happened at that show, and there was another one that Eddie Guerrero and JBL had a bull rope match that was terrible.
Yeah, but John Cena and JBL had a backstage brawl, and I just remember that being one of my favorite matches when I was little.
You had a sad childhood.
That was a good Backstreet Brawl, if I ever seen one. Actually, that might be the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah,
But
does
it was.
anyone ever think fondly to John Cena and JBL matches?
You didn't like that match?
I can't think of that one, but I can't think
It
of
ended with freaking JBL getting FU'd at the time onto a car. It was good.
I feel like I'm supposed to be impressed with that.
It wasn't often that he John Cena did stuff like that back then.
Oh, because like Reese, he's like he did it to Batista off of the car, and he did it
That was
to.
a Great American Bash too, wasn't it?
That was Over the Limit, which was a terrible
Oh,
pay-per-view.
I think they had a match at Great American Bash too. I'm just making stuff up
Cena
at
and
this point.
Batista, I think you're making that up.
Yeah, I'm making stuff up at this point.
Okay.
Great American Bash, dang it!
Yay.
I don't know. I just have good
I would rather them have a
memories of Great
pay-per-view
American
in
Bash, and I
Canada.
can't think of any of them.
Canada or the United Kingdom or something. The foreign pay-per-views are just so great because the crowd's like, it's much better, it's much easier to have a great crowd when they don't get wrestling as often.
Well, yeah, it's because the fans care.
Yeah, I don't know why. Just America is like n just not as good of a place for wrestling crowds.
It depends.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple, but like for the most part, if you go out of the United States, you're gonna have a good crowd.
Yeah, especially England.
Yeah,
England's.
they need to have pay-per-view in England. I can't imagine. Like, what was the last one? Like SummerSlam, like 88 in Wembley?
That can't be the last
I think it was.
one.
There's been some in Canada after that, but
Hey, speaking of Canada, that's where this Raw was.
it was. And speaking of this Raw, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro faced the Ascension.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that go? Ascension.
Badly.
Not a good match?
It takes a very special kind of team to have a bad match against Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, but damn it, the Ascension are that team. It
I
was.
try liking them so much. Like I don't
Why?
know. I just try liking them so much, but
I think I've already said this on the podcast, but here's my problem with the Ascension, is that literally you can put any single other wrestler in that gimmick, anyone on the roster, anyone in NXT, and they will have more success than these two. That's a gimmick.
they're not even bad wrestlers. It's just.
They're not good, though. They're very mediocre wrestlers, very mediocre characters, and they never have good matches. Their promos are always terrible and generic. Their entrance is cool, but that's about it. They're not a wrestling act. They're just an entrance. Like Mordecai. They're Mordecai. No, they're Mordecai. Yep, they're Mordecai. That's what it is. We figured it out. Mordecai was great, though. Had a great entrance.
All right, then if we're going just entrances, then they're boogeyman.
All right, yeah. Okay, sure. No, but the Boogeyman was over. These guys aren't over. They're Mordecai.
that's a weird thing to say.
He was over. People
He
still cheer
was
the
too.
Boogeyman.
Yeah, I was there when he came back. That was a cool moment.
See?
I just, yeah.
So we're just gonna skip right over that match, and we're gonna get
Wait, who
to the
won?
good stuff. Kid and Cesaro. Thank the Lord.
Wow, their session is done. They done diddly.
Oh, good Lord, yes. They have a great entrance and a great Titantron and a decent name. And there's nothing else to them.
The fact that they ran NXT for so long just.
That was with a different guy, though. It was Kenneth something. And he was better, I guess, kind of. I don't know. It's always been terrible.
Josh, no likey.
Nope, not at all. Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose was the next match. This is some important stuff right here. This is more like it. Please tell me you saw this one.
I know the ending.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh, this match was
Yeah,
amazing.
I know what happens.
Oh, it was great. And they really should not be giving away these matches on live TV.
See, no, that's where I disagree.
Really?
Why not give some pay-per-view worthy matches? on Raw every once in a while.
Because when you get like, because this is like, it's this is like a very big prominent rivalry between two very big prominent wrestlers. And like, well, Seth Rollins can have a great match with like a lower, like a lower card talent. Like if you put like a Neville in there, he could have an outstanding match. But if you have, but if you put like Rollins and Ambrose together, they had like this amazing feud culminating in incredible matches.
My favorite feud in recent years.
But, right? Right?
Yeah.
They had like an amazing lumberjack match, which is not a thing that happens.
Yeah, I was so upset when that was the match.
Me too. I remember like getting the notification at work and being like emotionally devastated.
And when I saw the match, I was highly impressed.
It was amazing. And then they had a great Hell in a Cell, and they had like amazing matches on Raw, and it was just great. And they should be building to that again. Or at least, like, teasing it a little bit and building it to, like, maybe for a post-SummerSlam feud.
Well, when I heard the outcome, that's what I kind of was assuming, is it's going to lead to SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hoping. I just really want a one-on-one match, Rollins and Dean at SummerSlam.
Maybe.
That would be great, but there's no reason to give away this match on free TV. It's too big.
Well, there is a reason. Reasons to make the main event bad.
they could have just put him in. There's no reason to like give away that match.
I think no. See, I still think you're a little wrong on that. Treating your fans to matches like that every once in a while is the reason to buy tickets to Raw. I don't know.
But you had another great match.
That match was great, but I don't know. See.
It had I don't know, because like if you're gonna have like what we're gonna get to later, the John Cena Open Challenge, you don't like you can have that, and that's your selling point for great wrestling on the show, and then you don't need to give away these big matches that like are easily pay per view worthy for free.
It's very
like, this is stuff you build to it, like you like it's that a fine like builds line. Both talents even higher than they are.
It's a fine line because. I've always thought there's nothing wrong with having some pay-per-view worthy matches on a Raw.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there's something wrong with it, but it's just like these two that have like such... It's like putting Austin and Rock on some random Raw or SmackDown. It's like you would never do that because you can make too much money off of it on pay-per-view and you can build too much and like build both stars up so much from that.
We've seen Shawn Michaels versus John Cena on a random Raw.
That was Raw after WrestleMania.
True. We've seen CM Punk versus John Cena at Random Raw.
But that was always like that's just kind of an ongoing rivalry that they had for years. It wasn't like a special attraction match by the end.
No, it was. It was built up.
Yeah. They had several matches on Raw though.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm just not able to really think of any on the top of my head, but there's definitely some...
I'm not saying they haven't done it in the past, I'm just saying they shouldn't.
No, I don't mind. Like, I don't know. I really don't... I know they're losing money that way, I guess you could say, but... It feels like it's... the right thing to do. Maybe not financially, but morally, giving the fans such a nice match like that. That's the type of thing. Like, that's why they left that feud where it's at, with the Bray Wyatt just interrupting and kind of like putting that feud on hold, so they can bring it back just randomly like that and have an amazing match, and fans will know it's going to be an amazing match.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. But I mean, I don't that rivalry could have been so much more than it was.
Oh no, I don't think it's over by a long shot.
Ambrose Wyatt or Ambrose Rollins?
No, Ambrose Rollins.
No, I'm not saying it's over. I'm just saying that they could have built to that and like had that match be like much more of a special moment, because the match quality was there. All you needed was just like a storyline and a reason to watch it. and care about it and not just like throw it in the middle of a Raw that's going to have more noteworthy things in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have built it up a little bit. I guess you're right on that part.
And it, I mean,
she's compromising on what's right and what's wrong. We're compromising.
It was a great match, though. It was really good. And it did us the immense pleasure of building and putting Dean Ambrose in the main event of Payback. Meaning Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton all in the same main event. The Shield is main eventing Payback yet again, the last main event or the last pay-per-view that they were ever at as a unit.
This is just making me actually want to watch Payback.
I'm so excited for Payback.
See, I didn't have a care for it until this match was announced.
I thought Orton the triple threat.
Roman versus Rollins should have been pretty decent. But when I heard Ambrose was added in, I was like, oh, I need to buy this.
Do you buy pay-per-views?
Well, my subscription runs. Due to some idiotic things by myself, I am losing my rights to WWE Network for a little while. And it runs out like May 15th or something like that.
Huh.
So, yeah. So I'm not going to actually buy it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'll have to find a way to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great show. But we'll get to that later episodes, I guess, when there's more of a card. Fandango versus Rusev happened.
Let me guess. Rusev won.
Rusev did win.
Fandango'd a little bit.
Lana Fandango'd a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in a sarcastic way? Or like?
No.
Why?
Because they're turning Lana for no reason.
Yeah, there really does not feel like a reason for this whatsoever.
Why? There's no possible reason that you could want to turn.
I think Rusev without Lana is gonna really kill Rusev's momentum.
I don't know about that. I think Rusev will be fine, but like the whole point of Lana is for Rusev. Like, she's not an actual wrestler; she's a valet.
Well, there are plenty of valets that left their original person.
Would you say that Miss Elizabeth was, like, particularly spectacular without Macho Man?
That's a completely different story.
How?
She was the first valet, pretty much. Like, she was the first main...
Doesn't mean that it's not the same thing.
I mean, look at people like Sable and... like.
But Sable was a wrestler. Sable could, like, stand out on her own and become something. Lana is just a valet slash model. And exists for the purpose of being a mouthpiece for Rusev, who can kind of speak English, even though his promos are great.
You make me think of Stacey Keibler, who was kind of just...
Also kind of... She was a wrestler, though.
She was borderline.
And she was never, directly, if you thought of her, you wouldn't immediately think of, of her associates, I guess. Like, Lana is so, intertwined with the Rusev character that, what do you do? Where do you go from there?
She's only been with him for, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
I mean, she's been with him pretty much since he debuted in NXT.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, 15 years from now, if she leaves him now, 15 years from now, she won't be associated with... If she does other bigger stuff, she won't be associated with...
She'll be
with
around 15 years from now?
No, I'm saying if we look back at her 15 years from now, if she's around long enough and she does have a big career with random like other wrestlers as a valet, we won't just see her as a Rusev in the future. We'll see her as the valet whoever she could be bigger with someone else. It's hard to explain.
There's no way. She exists for Rusev. Like, what, does she bring up some other Russian dude?
I think if they're going to drop, if they're going to change her, they're going to completely drop her character.
So that she drops the accent and everything?
That's what I'm assuming.
That's asinine.
So Mr. Character is now against changing characters?
There's no reason to move her away from Rusev.
Yeah, but now it looks like they're on the line of moving her away from Rusev.
But I'm saying that there's no reason to, and that they thus shouldn't. WWE has just, like, this addiction to breaking, like, if something is a unit, it has to be broken up. And there's no reason for it. Like, they could have, I mean, you know, obviously the Shield thing worked out for the best, but the Shield could have been over for years.
Nah, they need the breakup.
Real Americans could have been over for years. I mean, obviously,
Americans could have stayed longer. I believe you that. If Vince knew he didn't have any plans for Cesaro after that, then they should have stuck with Real Americans. Had them win the goal. They should have won at least one goal. That's the main thing that pissed me off about Real Americans.
Yep, because they were great.
Yes, but let's not get on that. But Shield, they broke up the perfect time.
I still think it was too early. Obviously, things worked out, so I can't really say
anything.
No, they're
three. We all knew from the start that they were three great individual wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you kept them in the Shield too long, it would just be... They weren't good. Like, they did everything there was to do as a trio.
Did they?
Yeah. I can't really think of anything they didn't do. I mean, they beat Undertaker on a Raw. Or SmackDown, whatever it was.
I thought Undertaker beat him.
No.
I don't know. All right.
They legit did everything there was to do as a trio. That's why they broke them. So I agree with you at some points. Like, there really is no need to get rid of Lana from Rusev. But there's definitely some teams that need to break off. The Wyatt family, on the other hand, they probably got stuff together. But Shield, they broke up right at the right time.
Wyatt family, Wyatt family should still be together.
I mean,
very confident.
Luke Harper, he can have a semi decent singles career, but
yeah, Luke Harper is a great wrestler.
He'll never have a meaningful feud. That's my theory.
I subscribe to that theory. I mean, Eric Rowan's gone.
I could tell that was going to happen from the start.
And Bray Wyatt's just kind of floating listlessly, feud to feud, just kind of being creepy with no end game. Like, having the whole family behind him in the hillbilly cult, like, really kind of established all three of them and made him, like, a force. And then you break them up, and they all just kind of wander around.
Like, when he released, Luke Harper, I was cool with that. I was like, okay, we'll at least have, maybe he'll replace Luke Harper with someone else and keep Eric. And then they released him, and I was like, there's no point in this. It just makes no sense. But, like I said earlier, the Shield, they broke up perfect time. There was nothing else for them to do. So, sometimes they know what they're doing when they're breaking up people, but other times
They're just like having Lana pander to the crowd who's getting over because she's hot.
Well, the only thing I could think of why they would break them up is because Lana's starting to become, not on purpose, but she's becoming kind of like a face because of the crowd, and if the crowd's completely for Lana, she's not doing her job right as a heel. In this case, because it's cool to be heel case. She just wants to be Rusev character. It's just that everybody hate Rusev. There is no liking any. So that's the only reason I can see that them breaking them up is just to have Rusev as the we hate Rusev. Because if he has Lana with him, then it's like, hey, we hate Rusev, but Lana's hot, so we're gonna cheer them anyway.
That makes sense, but it's the classic heel conundrum, like in the current day that we're living in, the kayfabe era, I guess, or the internet era, or reality era, whatever you want to call it. Like, any heel that does his or her job well is going to get cheered. That's just inherently like a property of wrestling now. It's happened with every good heel in the past, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years?
Longer than that. Yeah, 10 years. 10 years. But it's different. Rusev's not the one getting cheered. Lana is. And they want Rusev as this monster heel where no one cheers. Like, I know where you're coming from. It's not like a Randy Orton heel where people like don't mind cheering him. If they cheer Orton. And he's not like the monster heel like they want Rusev to be. Kind of like how Umaga was. No one cheered Umaga. No one cheered Estrada when he was with them. They just hated both of them. He was just that they're just these monster
Estrada
heels.
Estrada was a fairly unlikable person.
Yeah, but they were. That's what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be a heel.
Well, yeah.
So that's why I see them losing Lana, because they kind of want him as that. I don't want to say Umaga character, but the same. It is kind of like a Umaga character, just straight up monster heel. No offensive butts. Nobody should be cheering for him.
I don't get it. I don't get it because it puts Lana just in that no man's land of just person who used to have a reason to exist.
Yeah, it definitely puts her in that.
And what's Rusev's character now? Just getting mad at Lana?
Well,
he's not like particularly Russian nationalistic anymore.
As soon as they break up, he's gonna get right back into his crush America thing, I believe. And it's just, I think it's gonna be a quick breakup between Lana and Rusev. It's not gonna drag on really.
I mean, it already is dragging on. Just like slowly him sending her to the back whenever she gets crowd approval.
I wouldn't say a month is dragging on. Now, Mizdow, that was dragging on.
Yeah, that was handled extremely poorly, but that's not the point.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be one that really drags on. I think it's just going to be... Well, you need a little build-up to lose her. You can't just have her gone out nowhere. That's...
Alright, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be dragged on much longer.
Alright. So, yeah, Rusev beats Fandango. That's fine.
Well, that debate, though.
That Derek Debateman, though.
Oh, yeah. We were...
We did it.
When we were first having ideas for segments on this show, and then we realized Raw reviews take long enough.
Yeah, they take a really long time.
But, my idea, because we were upset, we still are obsessed with Derek Bateman.
Oh, there's but nothing. We're. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Life is Derek
Bateman. We were really trying to think of something amazing to put in there, and I was like, I wanted the debate segment. I saw Derek Bateman. I was like, oh, guys, let's have a weekly Derek Bateman. Derek Bateman, and. I was coming up with all these debate ideas, and we never really got around to it, because, like I said, Raw reviews take long enough. But it came out... We just did one. So. Yeah, we finally did one. Yeah.
All right, yay.
We actually do them often, like, without even realizing it.
Yeah, no. Because that's kind of what podcasting is, right? Just arguing with a microphone.
Yeah, two friends. You couldn't see it, did air quotations.
It was implied
that are always on the same view. I didn't do air quotations there, but I implied it.
Oh yeah, it definitely sounded like it.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. I was just gonna say we don't have the same view on a lot of things, but we are friends though. Oh, so yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Fandango.
Sorry.
Fandango.
Go.
Lost.
Yep.
For just a random match.
Yep. And then Stardust beat R-Truth in another random match. So that was fine.
R-Truth, though.
R-Truth, though. So, yeah. Truth finds a bunch of fake spiders in this match and panics.
No, he does not.
He does.
No.
Yep.
They actually had that.
Yep.
Had that promo go somewhere.
Yeah.
They completely just ruined his awesome promo.
Yeah.
You sound so disappointed in this.
Yeah. Stardust like brought a bag to the ring, and Truth hits a sit-out slam, and he like goes for it, and it's full of fake spiders. He freaks out, and Stardust rolls him up, and that's that.
Now that's a match.
That is how wrestling is, baby. This is a sport. ESPN covers this shit.
The fact that I missed this Raw, that's the main reason why I'm upset I missed this Raw.
Yep, because of the bag of fake spiders.
Yes.
This is a sport, folks. This is a sport.
Oh. That's
All right.
funny.
So we get Cena.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. This makes me happy.
I don't know if I've ever said the word Cena and then gotten that react. Well, actually, given the high pitchness of the voice, I probably have. So
I really.
he cuts his usual passion promo thing. Oh, I love wrestling.
Oh, but it
Nobody
wasn't so
else loves
cool.
wrestling like John Cena.
And
And
I can't do it. Yeah. Yeah,
Bret
Bret Hart
Hart.
comes out.
That was pretty good
Surprise,
interpretation.
Montreal! You guys won. Hometown Hero is here to save the day from good guys, you know.
Truth. So,
No.
Bret comes out to the ring, says he's here. He's not here to wrestle, sadly, but probably gratefully. He's here to introduce a great wrestler. And then he Slater arrives. Slater Gator cuts him off, so he's not losing his spot again. Oh, no. Nay, 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 as it were. So Slater mocks the Canadian crowd, talks about how he's been screwed over, and he's sick of being attacked out of nowhere. So he gets
Eight.
attacked out of somewhere from Bret Hart.
Yeah. I think he thought like Randy Orton was John Cena or something, because he kept doing like RKO like type. I don't know. Promos? Not promos. I don't know. He's pretty much just mentioning the RKO with the out of nowheres a lot. Because of the RKO from a couple weeks ago. For some reason, he kept bringing it up like Orton was in the ring or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
Then he got hit in the face with a microphone.
Which was nice.
What a heel move by Bret Hart.
I know. What a bad guy. Boo this man, as some signs might say. So Bret Jackson lays him out, and then he introduces
You can say it.
Sammy motherfucking Zayn.
Yes.
Oh,
Oh my God, this
it
makes me
was
so happy.
so good. So we get the United States Open Challenge. Sami Zayn
Sami Zayn.
without an
Oh.
E, mind you, just
Now
Zayn.
that is who I am a mark for. If I
Thank
was ever
you.
a mark for
You
anyone,
picked a good. You picked a good.
if I was ever a mark for anyone, I'm a mark for Sami Zayn. I
He
like Kevin Owens.
takes on John Cena for the United States title. We get he locks in a Koji clutch at one point in this match, which is amazing on so many levels. Love that move.
If I had someone to replace how much I loved Daniel Bryan in 2012, it's Sami Zayn.
It's
I'm
absolutely
as
Sami
soon
Zayn.
as I, like I loved Daniel Bryan 2012. Like, don't even get me started. More than I loved him, leading into WrestleMania 30, which I loved him crazy amount then. So I just really enjoy the Team Hell No Daniel Bryan like a crazy amount. And if there's anyone who can match that excitement, it's going to be Sami Zayn within the next couple of years.
Yep,
I just
Sami
know it,
Zayn.
and it's
Zayn
just
and
gonna.
Neville. Just the entire NXT crop that is not the Ascension is so
See,
exciting.
it's mainly Zayn for me. I
No,
just get.
I'm such a mark for Neville. But Zayn, 100,000%, yes.
Like, I love Neville, don't get me wrong, but Zayn is where it's at for me.
And this is the perfect way to introduce someone like this. Because, like, you can get Zane over with, like, cutting, you know, throwing a bunch of video packages together, and he can come out and cut a promo about how much, about who he is and how great he is. Or you can just have Bret Hart introduce him, and he can face John Cena for the United States title.
And John Cena was like, what do you have that nobody else back there has that makes you think you could beat me? And Sami Zayn goes, ruthless aggression. And then they start fighting. No, that didn't happen. But
no, that would have been so... If that had happened, I would have been done with life. I could just die and just that'll be it.
No, but...
Sami hits his like diving diving DDT through the middle. The apron, yeah. Which is so cool. Dude, like through the turnbuckle.
When I first saw that move...
Against Cesaro?
Like, I popped a banner.
I was... out.
It was one of the coolest moves I've ever seen a wrestler do, to be honest.
It still is. Combines like amazing like brutality with just like grace and elegance and awesome. Kind of like the F5 when Lesnar first debuted.
The last move that really made me like drop like that, and it's from fellow NXT veteran Adrian Neville when he did the guardrail.
The 450 off the barricade.
Yeah.
My jaw was on the floor.
That's the last move that I can really think of that made me. Well, also the Seth Rollins RKO at WrestleMania that made me.
Oh, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah. So those are the last three.
I love this move.
But the Sami Zayn every time, it's just such an amazing move.
It is. He just went out. And he just like put on a great match, threw out all of his spots. I don't think he didn't hit a hell of a kick, did he?
No, I don't think so. I know he kicked out of an attitude adjustment though, which we talked about in recent weeks.
Yep, he hit a blue thunderbomb, which was nice.
As much as I like Sami Zayn, the kicking out of the attitude adjustment just. Yeah, it makes me upset a little.
Nope. Sami Zayn can do it. It's fine.
I hate the kicking out.
Yeah, it's fine.
But Sami Zayn!
Oh. Sami Zayn! Cena wins.
Yeah, he hits a second attitude adjustment.
And that's fine. I would give this... this one and Ambrose Rollins were both 4-star matches to me. This was a hell of a Raw.
Yeah, the crowd was really into Zayn too, which I don't know if they all knew him from NXT, but if they didn't, they now do.
Oh, yeah. If they weren't already into him, they got super into him. And he had a huge pop right at the beginning. So it makes me think a lot of Montreal.
What really made me listen was when his theme song goes, hey! Like, you know how the whole crowd does it with it? Like, there's that pause for a second, and then he goes, hey! And, I was listening to see how many people did the hey. There was a good amount. A surprising amount.
That is good to hear.
That's how I was listening to see how many people actually knew who he was, really. Like, you know him, but, like, truly know him from NXT, you'll do the hey. Like, I know that's weird to say, but that's how, like...
I don't know. I was listening to the
volume level of that, and there was, like... I say it's like 1/4 of the crowd, which is more people watch NXT than I thought.
It's also Montreal, which is like a big wrestling town. So
don't kill my vibe.
I shan't.
Don't kill my vibe. No, that was awesome seeing Zayn. I'm interested to see if he does the Neville thing of doing both Raws and NXTs.
I would imagine he will. Like he'll definitely get a send off if anything.
No, I mean, is he gonna stay on the Raws? I wasn't thinking leaving NXT. I was thinking, is that just a one time thing for now?
No, he's on. This is his call up. Like he's on the roster now.
I hope so.
You gotta think.
I mean, well, we've seen Charlotte a couple months ago.
When was that? I'm trying to remember that.
It was with It was with AJ AJ? No, it wasn't AJ. It was... who was it? Natalia, and she lost. Cleanly. Charlotte lost cleanly. But it was... everyone thought it was her call-up, and it wasn't.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's why I'm really hoping Zayn... this is Zayn's call-up. But it's a questionable time, though. I didn't think it was going to be like this, because... it's a questionable time with him and Neville coming up like this. Unless they form a team, which would be amazing.
No. They got to stay singles. The tag team division is not good enough for them.
Well, this is my view right now. There's already so many amazing singles competitors where they don't know what to do with them. I don't want
Zayn. You put him in the IC title feud.
I don't want Zayn and Neville to fall into that.
If Brian's done, you vacate the title. You have a tournament for the title.
They made an announcement on Raw. I didn't hear the announcement.
For what?
Daniel Bryan, right?
I don't think they made an announcement on Daniel Bryan. I can't remember one. But, I mean, if he does have to vacate the title, you have a tournament with Barrett, Sheamus, Ziggler, Neville, Zayn, who else?
Ambrose.
No, Ambrose is in the main title feud right now.
You think he's going to stay there?
I think he could. Or Harper. So you throw those six guys.
Stardust.
Stardust Truth.
No, not Truth.
Well, you throw a body in there.
Maybe.
So, yeah, that's...
maybe. I'd rather have Bo Dallas than Truth.
Well, okay, either one of those guys. So that's, like, you can get, like, a full, like, two-day, if you want to do that tournament, out of that.
I like the week-long tournaments.
I like the one night, like, the winner has to wrestle three times kind of tournaments. Like, the endurance competition kind of tournaments. I think that's really cool.
My favorite tournaments, which is, like... I love the Beat the Clock tournaments. I wouldn't mind a Beat the Clock tournament for the IC. It's a little bit different, mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I used to love those on SmackDown. They used to do them often on SmackDown. Yeah. Every once in a while, they'd bring out the Beat the Clock, and I don't know, I just have a weird fetish for Beat the Clock challenges.
Beat the Clock is cool, but it's also, I mean...
it's also gimmicky, actually. It's gimmicky.
It's gimmicky. It's kind of awkward.
I don't know. I have a weird fetish for Beat the Clock.
I mean, I get it, but like, you know, like,
one of my favorite kind of
discourages like great matches, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't work for probably the IC to work, like, if you're one of the
yeah,
IC
especially if you're looking at like that title that's like the workhorse title.
One of my favorite SmackDown moments, and it just sticks out to me. I know this is going back a little bit once again, but it was a Beat the Clock. It was I think Mr. Kennedy, which we
yes.
mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah. He had the time to beat, and it was during his feud with Taker at the time. And Taker comes out, or maybe a little after his feud with Taker, and this one last match to Beat the Clock, and Taker comes out. Everybody's like, who's going to be Taker's opponent? He has to beat the clock. Kennedy is the best time. And it was a different time period, so you got to think of... out here, you hear the Miz's theme music, and it was a time period where Miz was a complete nobody. he was the...
Oh, yeah, back when he was like had super generic everything.
Yeah, he was the Funaki. And it was just, I just remember thinking, oh, there goes Kennedy's chances. I don't know, it was just that entrance of him coming out just will always be in my head for some reason. I think that's why I really like Beat the Clock, because the surprises.
I don't know. I don't know if the surprises are inherently a Beat the Clock challenge thing.
No, they're not.
Okay.
That one in my head is, though.
All right, we'll roll with it.
Yeah, well, no, Beat the Clock. Some surprises. Like, there was a Beat the Clock challenge, another Beat the Clock challenge, I think it was a SmackDown one, where Brian Kendrick versus Paul London, it was a random matched, and that was another surprise I remember. I don't know. There's some surprising beat the claw challenges.
I got you.
Yeah, and yeah. Off topic, like always. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So Bad News Barrett and Sheamus beat Dolph Ziggler and Neville. It was quick.
Is that going to be a tag team now, Sheamus Barrett?
No way.
Let's just put the
Europeans together. It was just Teddy Long booking. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It was just a quick match. Barrett hits a bullhammer after some Sheamus interference, and that was that. So, moving right along. Authority acting as the guest commentators for the main event, which was, of course, Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. Again, why are they giving this away on free TV? I don't know. Is this the first time they've ever had a one-on-one match? No, it's not. They had it at SummerSlam last year.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that match. Nobody else did. That's fine.
No, I did not like that match.
I loved it. Oh, yeah. We reviewed that on this podcast back with Jake Owens. I think we both gave it like 3 3/4 stars, maybe 4. Loved it. It was great. We've always been Rain Marks. Always Rain Marks. Yay, Reigns. Yay. Go, Reigns. Go. Reigns.
I like him now more than I have ever as a singles competitor, but I'm still on the edge of him.
Yeah, right.
But he's improving.
He's awesome. I don't know why I love him so much. I just kind of arbitrarily do.
Are you like one of the girls and you just like his beautiful face?
He is a beautiful man. He's a really beautiful man. His face and his body. And his facial hair is great. And his hair is great. And his cheekbones and his jawline. He's a beautiful man.
He's a married man. You stay away from that married man.
I shall, because I respect the sanctity of marriage. But also of his face. His beautiful face.
So yeah, the main event. It was a rematch of SummerSlam. So that was... Yeah.
It was certainly not advertised as such. Probably because that would be a ridiculous thing to advertise.
Guys, remember that SummerSlam match that nobody cared about?
I cared.
We're redoing it tonight.
Good. I cared about that match. And liked it. Had a great finishing sequence.
Remember that match at SummerSlam where Josh, the only person that cared about it?
Yeah, I do.
We're redoing that tonight.
That had a great finisher sequence.
Did it?
I remember it well. Had like a great spear. I think Reigns kicked out of an RKO, which was like still a cool thing back then. Like some like really cool counters into counters into counters into spears and stuff. It was awesome. So,
who won? Roman, right?
Yeah, Roman.
Yeah.
So yeah, the match itself was, I mean, they got like a solid amount of time. They did well, but it wasn't, you know, it was all just kind of clearly just kind of killing time until we got the interference from
Ambrose Rollins
Raw ends up kind of going off the air with everyone staring at each other and
I was not done, sorry,
and then all beating up on Seth Rollins. Rollins eats a spear, right? Doesn't he? Yeah.
Rollins does get a spear.
Rollins eats a spear, only to
Roman
turn
gets
around
an RKO.
Into the RKO, only to receive a Dirty Deeds DDT from Mr.
Is
Ambrose.
That what it's called? Dirty Deeds DDT?
Well, it's called Dirty Deeds.
No, Dirty Deeds is the head, where he has him under his armpit. And
yeah, they changed the move, not the name.
Oh, so the name's changed too. I'm really glad they changed it to the double arm DDT.
Really, I like the headlock
I never liked the Dirty Deeds.
I like the headlock driver.
It just didn't look painful to me.
It depends on who took it. Like, Kofi Kingston taking it was amazing.
Well, yeah.
The smaller guys could take it really well. But, like, when Orton or whatever, it was... Yeah.
It just looked goofy to me. Where you can't protect yourself on a freaking DDT where you have your arms back. It just works for me.
Well, I don't know. It looked cool. At least the Headlock Driver was, like, more unique and original.
It hasn't been used in a long time.
The double arm DDT, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean...
Unless you're going back to, like, Mick Foley.
Yeah, but Foley wasn't that long ago.
15 years.
Was it that long?
Attitude Era? Yeah.
Well, he kind of went into the Ruthless Aggression a little bit.
Yeah, as a commissioner type.
So?
He didn't use his finisher.
Questionable.
I mean, yeah, he had like a match here and there with Orton or Edge, but no, not continuously.
All right. That's fair, I guess.
I mean, the matches he did have with Orton and Edge were amazing.
I mean, but like, you don't see guys using the Angle Slam or the Stone Cold Stunner or the Rock Bottom.
I wouldn't mind somebody using the Angle Slam. I love that move.
Yeah, it's a great move. But I don't know. Maybe like Jason Jordan from NXT could use that.
That's a random name to pick just because he wears the...
Because he's an actual amateur. Like, he's an amateur, yeah, amateur wrestler.
Yeah.
He needs to learn actual wrestling moves, though.
That's stereotypical of you.
That actual wrestler should use the Olympic Slam?
Yes.
He needs to learn real wrestling moves anyway. He just uses takedowns.
That is one of my favorite moves of all time, though, the ankle lock.
The ankle lock?
Yeah, I love the ankle lock, actually. Thinking about it, yeah.
Don't care for it.
Not the lay down crossover where you one. The standing up where the guy's on his hands pretty much, wheelbarrow on it. I don't know, it's just a cool image to me.
It seems goofy. I don't know. I mean, Angle worked it, and Swagger worked it for a while.
Yeah, I like Swagger using it, and that's somebody who reused a famous finisher from the Attitude Era.
Yeah, but his primary finisher was the Gut Wrench Powerbomb, which I like better.
Not at that time period. He changed it to the Ankle, or to the Swagger, no, what it was, Patriot Lock. That was his main finisher for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it was.
I also love the Angle Slam too. Both the Angle finishers are two of my favorites.
Angle was amazing.
He really is.
Yep. I wish they would have hired him back, but that's fine.
Yeah. Well, he's psycho now.
Yeah, man. Aren't we all?
I'm not psycho.
Yet. So yeah, I mean Raw was awesome this week. I loved it.
I liked it a lot.
I like it. I did it for The Rock.
I was going Dumb and Dumber there, but...
I know. And I wanted to, but I had... You got to Rikishi a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, we had like 2-4 more star matches in Rollins, Dean, and Zayn, Cena. And you had like awesome debuts, Zayn, and like great matches, great promos. This was just like an all-around really enjoyable Raw.
Even with Fandango, or sorry, Fandango versus Rusev.
Yeah.
I wouldn't turn that into a fantastic Raw. That just ruins the whole Raw. JK, I love Fandango, and Rusev is entertaining.
Rusev is... Oh, I love Rusev.
I didn't like him for a long time, but since...
Good at first. Everything that's good, you don't like at first.
But John Cena's feud with him just turned it around for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was so much better before that. No.
I don't say that often.
Yeah, no.
But John Cena's feud with him really turned around with me. He impressed me with the matches. He impressed me with the promos. He impressed me without Lana.
The promos is when he really started to shine with Cena. I thought he's had better matches.
Jack Swagger feud with him never really.
That feud was so hot for a while, though.
It was just too many crappy endings.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, going into SummerSlam, that feud was hot. And it was awesome.
Yeah. That's because everybody wanted to see really Swagger. Good,
and then it ended.
That's because everybody wanted to see Swagger kick the Russian's booty.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
No. But still, really
and they
great.
Kept dragging it on for, like, 2 months. People thought, oh, he's definitely going to get the win eventually. Nope.
Never. Never, never.
Nope.
Any great matches with Big E that you don't remember?
Big E?
Yeah. Because they were super short.
No.
And they were like, yeah, just like mid-card matches on mid-card pay-per-views that would go like
Kennedy!
5 minutes.
Sorry.
Finally!
Oh, thank you. From
okay.
About
All right. I do believe it is time to sign off.
He said finally. Yeah, yeah. Is that what you were waiting for in the ending?
Yep,
yeah,
that, I just needed it, and then that's all.
That's funny.
All right. So my name is Josh. You can follow me on Twitter at The Nerd Dream. Nerd Dream, The Nerd Dream. Anyway.
You are the champion.
Don't you forget it, and you won't, because I have already designed the new artwork profile picture featuring
I'm waiting for the day.
Myself.
I'm waiting for the day Matt wins.
I'm waiting for that, too. That'll take a lot of photoshopping with that title belt. But anyway, Kevin's at, what, Jericho Wannabe 1 or something?
Oh, I'm actually at Bill Gates, 24.
24?
Yeah. Hey, you know what's funnier than 24?
25?
25, you got it. Nah, yeah, that's my Twitter account. Yep, tweet.
All right. But of course, follow the podcast on Twitter, at WeLiveWrestling. That's at We Live Wrestling. And remember, kids, at Ethan Carter TNA, we loved you in Baywatch. Come on, Live Wrestling Podcast.